Blog Talk Radio.
So there I was sitting on my couch watching the game, and Molson scores the goal to go ahead, and I'm like, okay, just got to get the goal back, getting excited. I'm like, we're going to do this. Who's shooting? Next up for the New York Rangers, John Mitchell. And I looked at my wife and I said, game's over. Sure enough, he skates in, misses the shot. And my wife looks at my daughter and says, you're about to hear a lot of cursing. Now, I can handle the loss. I can even handle the loss to the Islanders. But is John Mitchell really the best third goddamn option on the fucking shootout? Really? Is that the best we could do? Really? Good evening and welcome to Blue Shirt Underground Radio post-game edition. My name is Jim. I don't know if my partner will be here. I don't think so. He's still under the weather. I talked to him last night, but he's hanging in there. I could tell he's not up to snuff. So maybe he'll pop in to say hello. I hope, but if not, get well soon, Eddie. We miss you. And so we'll talk a little bit tonight. You guys can call in 646-478-4692. Show scheduled for 90 minutes if we last that long. If not, we'll call it after an hour, whatever. I've come on this show and I've said, you know, I like John Mitchell. I like his game. But this, come on. All right, and you know what? I got to correct myself. He was the fourth shooter, I guess, not the third shooter. But still, you can't throw Brandon Dubinsky. Can't throw him out there. Try and get something out of him. Derek Stepan, nothing. Delzato, nothing. John Mitchell. Oh, Mark. Rumors Brandon Prust was the fifth shooter. That would make sense. With the way this game. I mean, the Rangers played this game like they were trying to get out of the military. The way they shot themselves in the foot all night long. Derek Stepan taking that bad penalty in the overtime. Was he being punished in the shootout? Was that what that was all about? Was he being punished? Now, don't punish Dubinsky. Don't punish Brad Richards. And you know what? Here's a little tip for Brian Boyle. Brian, you know what? I've been hard on you, and then I kind of did a little mea culpa because of your defensive game, which has improved. And you're a tough dude. But for a guy who's 6'7", you still get muscled off the puck by guys a foot shorter than you too much. And you should just stand at the blue line and do not enter the offensive zone. You remember Forrest Gump when Forrest ran for the touchdown when he was at Alabama and all the fans had to hold up the sign that said, stop Forrest? That's what they should do with Brian Boyle. When he hits the blue line, stop. Don't go in the offensive zone. You are useless there. You have no business touching the puck, trying to shoot the puck. That puck is your kryptonite. Oh, As long as he doesn't have to touch the puck, he's not bad. He can defend. He throws the body a little bit. You know, he is decent on defensive zone faceoffs. He got better as the game went along. Tavares ate them alive tonight on faceoffs. Absolutely ate them alive. Boyle wasn't bad. He got better as the game went along. But he has no business being in the offensive zone. None. None. Absolutely none. He's terrible. Terrible, as Charles Barkley would say. That's just terrible. Just abysmal. So, here we sit. 2 days, three, what do we got? 70, I guess a little less than 72 hours before the trade deadline. Jeff Carter's already been traded by the Blue Jackets, so the fire sale has begun, which leaves Nash as the last man standing. You know, pretty much, you know, I was talking a little bit to our buddy Captain Brian Attard last night, and you know, he brought up a good point. You know, you trade Carter first, you pretty much guarantee that Nash is going at this point. The only question is where. Is it going to be San Jose? Is it going to be the Rangers? You know, there's all been all kinds of rumors flying around all day, yesterday, tomorrow, or the day before. It's going to be this guy. It's going to be that guy. I don't know. I don't know. You know, if they get Rick Nash, is he going to be the – can he replace John Mitchell as the fourth option on a shootout? Maybe. Can he get the ice time in the with 4 minutes to go in a tie hockey game instead of John Mitchell? Please, maybe, a little bit. Tom Ertz declaring in the chat room that San Jose is out. He's consulted his barbecue sauces, his tomato sauces. San Jose is out of the race. Zdlicky, you know, and that's another thing. 2 weeks ago, I said on this show, 3 weeks ago maybe it was, when Marek Zdlicky was first rumored that he might have been, you know, on the trading block. Ranger fans didn't want him. That's okay. But then tonight, I see on Twitter, the Devils get Zdlicky, and all the Ranger fans are going, oh, shit, the Devils got Zdlicky. Well, what's the big deal? If you don't want him on the Rangers, what difference does it make? I think the Devils got fleeced in that deal, if you ask me. They trade their first-round pick from 2 years ago, Palmieri, and a conditional first-rounder. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's what I saw. And I think there's another player in that deal, too. You guys can maybe confirm it for me in the chat room. But I think it seems like an awful lot to pay for a 35-year-old malcontent defenseman. And here's what gets me, is that I read, I think it was, I can't think of the guy's name now. I think his name is Tom Giolotti or something like that. He covers the Devils for the Star Ledger. And he said that the Devils consulted Jacques Lemaire on the deal for Zdlicky because Lemaire was with the Wild. Well, this guy's had so much. This guy, you know, couldn't play at the Wild, and he was, you know, all kind. You know, he was in the doghouse, and somehow they think he's going to be able to come play for the Devils. Whatever, good. Keep making those deals. I love Hemsky getting the 2-year deal from Edmonton. I'm glad. I didn't want him. I didn't want anything to do with him. Andrew Cugliano is who it was, maybe. So I'm trying to settle myself down here a little bit. So that Mitchell thing, that just set me off. That just set me off. I mean, come on. There's got to be a better option. There's got to be. I understand throwing Brad Richards out there. Look, the guy's your number one center, you know, number one or number two, depending on the mood of the coach. So I understand throwing him out there, even though he's been horrendous on shootouts and did nothing to change that tonight. That play he made was just terrible. But I understand throwing him out there. But John Mitchell, this guy's a fourth liner. This guy's a grinder. I mean, come on. So the Rangers losing the shootout. They get a point, come right back tomorrow night against Buffalo. And Marty Biron gets the start tonight. Once again, gave up a five-hole goal, or as we call it here on the show, the 500 hole, or the 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 hole, whatever you want to refer to it as. The first goal, I think, went right through his legs. They got off to a bad start. He gave up the 2 goals in the first 9 minutes of the game. I thought after that he settled down. He played okay. Made some big saves down the stretch. He doesn't, but even he made some. He made some good saves, but I never thought he. I didn't think he looked comfortable all night long. I don't know. He didn't seem to. He didn't seem to know where the puck was on a couple of plays. He looks like he's in a little. He's struggling a little bit. I think we probably all agree on that. And anybody else sick of seeing P.A. Parento score on this team? I know I am. I'm a little tired of it. P.A. fucking Parento. Got to be kidding me. Oh, unbelievable. 646-478-4692 is the number. We'll get to your phone calls. I'm going to bring Mandar. Mandar is here. He's already on hold. He has graciously agreed to sit in for Eddie tonight since I don't think Eddie's going to be here. So I'll bring Mandar in just a minute. I just want to see if I, any other thoughts here. I'm just checking out the stats. Gavrik got a goal, and seemed like it, somebody mentioned the other night how long it had been since he'd scored a goal, but he's got 17 points in his last 17 games or something like that, but it seemed like it had been a while since they'd gotten a goal out of him. So, but he got a goal. Callahan took the penalty late in the game. The Rangers did a good job killing off the penalty. Got a couple of goals on the power play tonight. It was a good game. I have a very very difficult as a longtime Ranger fan to lose to the Islanders. And when I bring Mandar in a minute, he'll tell you the exact same thing. Very very difficult to lose to handle losses to the Islanders, even if they are of the shootout variety. Excuse me. Video is on if you guys care. My video is on. You can watch me rant and rave here at the Casa de Jim here in Mesa, Arizona. So without further ado, let's welcome in Mandar this evening. Mandar, good evening. How are you, sir?
Good evening, Jim and all.
See, he's not his usual jovial side. I don't know if the younger generation of Ranger fans takes these losses to the Islanders as hard as we do. But these are very difficult.
It's never acceptable. This is why those of us who say we don't care if they move, we want them to move, if they get sold to Kansas City, if the team somehow gets lost somewhere in the mountains of South America and has to eat each other, that's just fine with us.
I hope they eat Okpozo first. He is
exactly.
One of those.
Don't
prick.
Care. Don't care. Nothing bad enough can happen to that squad. And yes, and losing to them kind of hurts more, but it's almost, I have to admit, and I'm sorry to start feeling this way, but I'm almost resigning myself to knowing that it's going to be an uphill battle now with the backup goalie in that. He's not encouraging any confidence. And it was really funny to listen to Sam and Joe try to pump him up in the third period. You know, oh, he had a tough first 9 minutes. Oh, but the Islanders haven't scored since then. Yeah, the Islanders had about six shots after that. There is no confidence right now. And he made a couple of really good saves, but I'll tell you what, half of them he didn't even know he had. You see him hit his pants and he's looking around. He has no idea where it is. So
yeah, that's the same thing I said. He seemed to really be really struggling with where the puck was tonight.
Yeah, he was. But tomorrow's another game. They got to come back quick. And, you know, they're playing down to the level of their opponents now, which is not good.
No.
But it's, again, it's you get a point, you move on. I'm not taking very much out of this other than that. I mean, I'd love to hear what Torts said in the postgame, though.
Yeah, I'm anxious to. I'll have to check out the video later and see what he had to say. I saw him mouth the F word about four times in the game tonight.
They were going to actually score on that power play in overtime there, but they couldn't get a lane. They refused to look for a lane, and then you know Stefan taking the. The hooking penalty deep in the offensive zone. All right, there you go.
Yeah, and that was it. Yeah, it was who got the goal? I guess it was Parento got the goal for when Delzato took the throwing the stick penalty. Was that Did I have that right?
No, I think that was the second. Wasn't that the second one?
The second period. I'm sorry. That was in the. Oh yeah. So that was Parenteau that scored when Delgado.
Wait. Parenteau's second goal, you mean?
Parenteau's second goal. Yeah. Sorry. Was on Delzato's throwing the stick penalty. And I thought for sure we'd seen the last of Delzato in that game. The way Tortorella was boiling behind the bench there. I know.
Number played a very dangerous game tonight, and he had again on a power play a beautiful wide open shot that hit glass. So,
yep.
I'm not going to blame him. It was a collective effort that kept beating to the outside. Even the top two pair was getting beat to the outside. So I thought Gabby had a good jump on him. He was on the puck a lot. I thought he was pretty good. I thought Anisimov played real well. And for the life of me, I can't understand why he doesn't get in the shootout.
Yeah, I thought he played a terrific game tonight. I'm glancing at the ice time here. Stahl had 21 minutes. Girardi, 30 minutes. Bickle only had 9 minutes, but it seemed like Bickle was always on the ice with Stahl. It seemed like every time Stahl was on the ice, Bickle was on the ice, but I guess not. Huh.
And for a while there, you know, Stroman was even having an issue, you know, for the first part of the year. I thought he came back better in the third period, but he was having issues too. It's just the defense has kind of looked out of whack for the last few games. I thought Fedotenko looked fine in the first period. Didn't even notice him for the rest of the game. I guess he was nailed to the bench.
Yeah, I think he was. He only had 7 minutes of ice time. He was actually a low man tonight as far as ice time goes.
Yeah, but he basically spoon-fed Dubinsky out there to put him in every position to get him in a position to score. He was... if you want to give him credit for trying, that's about all he did. But I'll tell you what, he was taking off the puck so easy tonight, I could not believe it. Every time he had the puck in the corner, they bodied him off, they angled him off. He was not strong on the puck whatsoever tonight. He was always there. He was always in the middle of things, but he just not good enough. I mean, this guy's now starting to get, you know, muscled off the puck. And if he loses that, I mean, I know you can't do any less on offense than he's really doing anyway, but he's become even more of a glorified Blair Betts.
Yeah, Dubinsky's just saving it for Columbus.
Let him. He could be the captain of the All-Star team next year.
There you go. Rick Nash, I'm reading the tweets here from Tom Ertz. Rick Nash left the bench tonight. It was sick.
Oh, yeah, I watched a little bit of that game. They were losing 5-0. He went back to the broadcaster, said that he had a skate problem, but I don't know if he came back. But they talk about a team that didn't get out of their own zone all night. It was comical to watch the Avalanche just dominate that game.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez. So, all right. So, coming back tomorrow night against Buffalo, that game's at the Garden, right? They're at the Garden tomorrow night?
Yep.
Okay. And we'll have Henrik Lundqvist in goal. Just announced Papa to be Henrik Lundqvist, apparently. Did you hear? I guess it was the beginning of the third period. Sam and Joe going on and on about Butch Goring.
Yeah.
Did you hear? I'm yelling at the TV. In case you fucking clodhoppers don't know it, Ranger fans hate Butch Goring. We don't care. I don't care about Butch Goring.
That's their efforts to constantly pump up the other team, where whoever it is, as best as they can. You know, it was in tomorrow night. Who are we going to hear how wonderful it is tomorrow night in Buffalo? How wonderful Lindy Ruff is. You know, Thomas Vanek's a madman. I mean, the gushing over the other guys is something that, especially when we're frustrated and possibly a mini slump, to hear them glorify whoever else in the other team, especially a hated team like the Islanders, it's just insane. I can't take Mitchell Eddie anymore. The constant need for affirmation. I just want to put my fist through the screen.
Isn't he, Sam?
Isn't he?
Tough kid, isn't he, Sam? Sam? It's a good game, isn't it, Sam? Mmm. And then Sam just mmm. And it, Sam, with the penalty on who took the penalty? Who was it? I have to look at the. Let me see if I can remember who it was. Maybe it was. It wasn't Okposo's penalty. Maybe it was. Maybe it was Cizikas' penalty. And Sam, oh, I don't know what they're seeing there. Shut up, Sam. Who do you work for? Shut up. I want to hear it. Terrible broadcast. So
they were bowing down before Tavares all night long, which was, you know, what you got to do. You know, if these guys, they can never be considered homers. That's for sure.
No. Mark said Sam is Tavares' agent.
More like his manslave.
Newman, you hung up. I was just going to put you on. Oh, well. Your loss. 646-478-4692 is the number if you want to call in. We'll get to the phones in just a second here as soon as the switchboard pops back up for me. I've lost the switchboard. Hold on. Manda, are you still with me?
I'm here.
Okay. Let me just see here. There we go. There it is. All right. Let's bring, I believe this is Howie. Howie, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing good, Jim. And Manda, how you guys doing?
Good, good. Welcome to the program.
Howie, how are you?
I'm doing all right. You know, bummer of a loss, but what can you do? You know, Biron's got that, I call it the 5,000 hole, because you could drive a truck through it.
Yeah, I mean,
Chicago
we've seen
game,
it.
And, man,
we've seen it three games in a row now that he's played, and it's just, you know, I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, Eddie compared it to JD's 5-hole, and that's saying something.
It's just, you know, unbelievable. I mean, he's a good goalie. I just think right now he's just in a – he's fighting the puck. I mean, and unfortunately they're going down a couple goals early, and then obviously they climbed out of it tonight, but – you know, kind of stunk in the shootout that all of a sudden he makes these couple of great saves and then until he gives up, where they go, right through his legs.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Now, John Mitchell is the fourth shooter on the shootout. Does that make any sense to you? I'm waiting for somebody to explain this to me and tell me.
No. No, and I don't know why Richards is out there anymore either. He couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat.
But you can almost understand that. You can almost understand Richards being in the shootout. I mean, before this year, and I know that this year is all that matters, but before this year, the guy was a very good – he was like in the 40s percentage-wise shooter in shootouts. So
I don't know. He tried that move again. He keeps going low, and he's tried lifting the puck.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his goals this year that he scored during game play, and he's got – you know, he's picking corners, so maybe he should just go to the shot rather than that. But I don't have as much of an issue with Richards – as I do with, this is the only Jokinen move of, you know, a couple of years back. Really? John Mitchell?
Yeah, I was going to say, I would never think of him in the shootout.
No, I mean, you know, like I said, okay, you know, Molson scored, whoever it was, and okay, we're going to get Stepan up here, maybe Dubinsky or, you know, somebody, and it's John Mitchell. And I said, what are they, it's over. It's over. I mean, you know, nothing against John Mitchell. He's a nice player, but he's a fourth liner. He's a fourth liner. This guy should not be your fourth option for a shootout.
Well, no. You know what you got again now? What this is a glaring example of is the Rangers are built as a team of grinders, and that's what they are. And the shootout is a finesse thing. It's not a grinder thing. So
yeah,
the shootout, we're always going to struggle in because we really only have one natural sniper, and the rest of them are all grinders. And, you know, I've said it all year long. They create their offense from digging in the corners, crashing the net, doing all that kind of stuff. But when the time is called for finesse, that's the biggest issue. And so these guys aren't going to be a good shootout team. They don't have enough finesse players. And, you know, it won't work in the shootouts. It'll work in overtime. It'll work, during regulation play. But, you know, if you're going to – your hands guys, who is it other than, Richards, Gaborik, Mitchell's a plugger, Callahan? Come on. I know he's got a lot of goals this year, but Ryan Callahan doesn't have the hands to be up there, you know, shooting second. But that's what the team is built on. And now we're all pissed off because we have a bad shootout record but good overtime record. There's a reason for that, and it's based on the personnel.
Rangers HCP is saying in the chat room that Torts was yelling at Sam. in the post game, and Torts said, "We are one sloppy hockey club."
You know what?
Well,
I mean,
that's on the coach. Fix it.
Yeah, you can tell he's probably ready to burst after a bunch of after the goals given up and the stupid penalties, and he's ready to just explode. The offside calls, he was even getting really mad about the offside calls in the second half of the third period too.
Oh, he was livid.
I can't really say that I blame him really, but that's, you know, you haven't had to endure that all year long, so now it's like, oh my God, haven't seen this since they were in Europe.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's funny. Years ago, I remember 94 when it was a team full of finesse and they needed grinders. They went out and got the grinders and that toughness. Now they have the grinders and some toughness, and they need some more finesse.
Sure.
And you know what? I know
Derek Turcotte when we need him.
Yeah, well, the thing is that, you know, I know everybody's saying it about, oh, we don't need Nash. Nash would be exactly what this team needs right now. He would be a shot in the arm offensively.
Oh, not everybody's saying that we don't need Nash.
I'm speaking probably in a minority.
Yeah, I think in the last couple of games it's turned some people's heads. It went from irrational discussions about not wanting Nash because of a mythical price tag that meant that they weren't going to be able to sign their own guys in the future, which is total garbage. But people see a number and they attach it to that. But you know, this can become a 10-hour Rick Nash conversation.
Need to do that. I mean.
HCP, stop with Dustin Brown. He's the same exact player as they have already on the team. Doesn't help. He's not a sniper. Stop.
I read tonight they pulled him off. Dean Lombardi pulled him back. So I think, you know, Nash is probably the big remaining stud out there.
Pulled him back to meet off the trading block?
Yeah, that's what I had read. Yeah, he was pulled back off the trading block, that Lombardi wasn't going to move him. But, I mean...
Captain.
You know, I know people are like, oh, we can't give up the future, we can't give up this prospect and this draft pick. And I always say this, guys like Kreider and Miller and all them guys down in juniors, you can light it up in juniors. We've seen it before. It doesn't mean you're going to light it up in the NHL. It's all potential. And that's always my thing. And we've seen so many guys come up and be busts. We've seen some guys come up and be great. It's a crapshoot.
And, you know, this is... You know, sometimes in sports, this is why you scout guys and you draft guys to build up your farm system so that you have some chips when you need to
exactly.
go out and buy something else. You know, and I just think, you know, this team is no. You know, I saw it again today. Well, you know, a lot of people picked us to be seventh or eighth or so. You know. It's still okay, but they're not anymore. They're not an eighth. This is not an eighth place team. They put themselves in this position, and if they go out in the first round, you know, God forbid, if that happens, it's going to be an absolute nightmare. It's going to be a nightmare, and everything they achieve this season will be for nothing.
Yes,
because they'll have taken no postseason steps. You know, you could tell being. You know, and they wrote an article, and I love the guys at Blue Shirt Banner, and one of them wrote an article last week about the Rangers being an elite team. And I said to them, elite in the regular season means absolutely nothing. You want to talk to me about – ask the 1991-92 Rangers what elite in the regular season means. Ask the 2007 Patriots or the 2011 Green Bay Packers what being elite in the regular season means. Ask the 1988 New York Mets what being elite in the regular – it's meaningless. People only remember what you do in the postseason when it's all said and done. Those are where you make your strides. That is how you take the next step. And, I'm, you know, at this point, you know, if they're going anywhere, and I think they have that capability, then I think they've got to go make a deal. Does it have to be Rick Nash? No, but it doesn't seem like – it seems like all the other pieces that were out there are not there anymore. So, Now you got to go. Now you got to go see what it's going to take.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, if you're going to make a deal, the Rangers' position at this point in the season, if you're going to make a deal, you're gonna make a deal that you're hoping is going to put you over the top and fill a need that you already don't have. Now, lots of people were saying, "Well, we're in first place. You know, we're in first place. Why bother? You know, messing with the first place team? Why would you want to mess with that? Why do you mess with the chemistry? Don't deal the youth." And you gotta look past that. You gotta look because the attachment we have to our own draft picks is so big. It's like watching the Yankees talk about their own draft picks, and then they'll trade them off for the first good fit that they can. You overhype your own prospects, and that's what Ranger fans tend to do because we're never used to having these many prospects. I mean, Chris Kreider, heard a lot of great things about him. He could be the next, what, Rick Nash. You know what? Why not get Rick Nash then? Because in my opinion, you're trading a guy for what already exists. So you want Kreider to be the next Rick Nash, right? The guy's 6'4", 230, can skate, he's a good player, hopefully a sniper, blah, blah, blah. You want him to be the next Rick Nash. But he might be the next Rick Nash. He might be the next Aaron Voros. Why not get the Rick Nash if you can? And this is not a 35-year-old player you're looking to get. You're looking to get a 27-year-old acknowledged by the entire league as an elite power forward, a guy that will play for Canada in the next couple of Olympic Games, a guy that will, you know, do all the things you want, you know, that big power forward to do. Yeah,
he'll get some
development. Let's develop our own with Kreider. Okay, so 3 years down the road, go ahead and do it. It's just like saying we need that really tough Bukaboom-like defenseman in McElrath. Okay, 3 or 4 years down the road, you're going to have that. But when you have that need now, we'll just wait. That's what we'll do. We're in first place. Don't got to make any moves. That's all you got to worry about.
You're right. You're absolutely
but that's,
right.
But that's the mentality of a lot of Ranger fans right now. And I'm not jumping off the ship, but I was never dazzled by being in first place either. Oh, we don't need to. Don't ruin the chemistry if you trade Dubinsky. I mean, you know, everybody in the locker room is going to cry.
Yeah.
Oh, you can't trade Kreider. He's going to be good. Okay.
Yeah.
He's going to be good.
And we see it. We see it a little bit on the Blue Shirt Underground Radio group on Facebook. I see it a lot on Blue Shirt Banner. I had an argument with a guy yesterday because now I can argue with people on Blue Shirt Banner. I don't run the place anymore, so I don't care what I say to anybody. So I said yesterday, I said, are we really this afraid of trading Brandon Dubinsky? I said, is this going to mess up the space-time continuum? Will Marty McFly not be born if we trade Brandon Dubinsky? I said, this guy's a third liner. I said, that's all he is. I said, I like him, but he's a third liner. So some guy jumped off. Well, third liners aren't important. They're just as important as first and second liners. And I said, well, I understand that third liners are important. Just look at how many of them the Rangers have. I mean, you know, so, you know, this don't trade Brandon Dubinsky. Oh, it's going to mess up the chemistry. Come on.
Chemistry's overrated.
You know, come on. The Rangers traded Mike Gartner in 1994. He's a Hall of Famer. Guy scored 600 goals. I think the chemistry survived.
Chemistry happens when you win. You don't hear a lot of losing teams that are so happy because they have great chemistry. Chemistry happens when you win.
Right.
And to be honest with you, this is Rick Nash. He's a captain of his team there. This guy isn't exactly somebody who's going to come in and ruin the clubhouse. Okay? This is a guy that could fit right in with this group of players. He's a well-thought-of person. He's so well-respected by his peers. To think that this guy could come in and you add him and you subtract Dubinsky and all of a sudden we're ruining chemistry is laughable.
I agree. We're gonna get we got a couple of calls on the line. Somebody, can you guys both stay on?
Ooh, me? Yeah, sure.
Both of you. Okay, let's bring on. All right, first we have we're gonna let I didn't get to him the other night. He hung up before I could get to him. He was on hold for a little while. Frankie, good evening, Fort Myers Beach, Florida. How are you, my friend?
I'm in love. Today was 85 degrees.
Very nice. It was 80 here, so not too bad. So give us some thoughts. I know you've been posting a bunch of stuff on my Facebook. Some I agree with, some I don't agree with, but that's okay. So what's going on? Give us your take.
I'm a big fan of Dustin Brown, but this is not the reason I'm calling. I saw tonight that first they paired Delzato on the right side with Stahl, and then he immediately got a goal against. And then they took Delzato away from Stahl, and they put him with McDonough, and then he had another minus playing on the right side, playing with McDonough. And when they put Delzato with McDonough, they put Girardi with Stahl, which is back to where we were like last year. And I don't understand why they're messing around with this 21-year-old kid, moving him from the left side to the right side on defense, and then benching Stahlman, who's having a great year. I think the guy that was unperforming was Stahl, and he was a legitimate fifth. He played like a fifth defenseman, and that's where he was playing. But to take Girardi away from McDonough and then putting Delzato on the right side for Stahl and for McDonough doesn't make sense. And I don't even know what Tortorella's doing. Is this got like a whipping boy that you got to keep on playing this guy the way you do? You know, he's up like a plus 30. And then all of a sudden we start moving him to the opposite side. So anyways, I'm just kind of, out of sorts tonight. Go ahead.
Well, I think we all are. And Frankie, we've got Mandar and Howie on the line, and they're old, longtime Ranger fans like I am. And we were saying how the younger generation doesn't – I don't think they take these losses to the Islanders as hard as we do. Now, as somebody who's been a Ranger fan for a long time, are the Islanders losing to the Islanders? Is that the one that do those hurt the most for you? Are those the ones that eat at you the most?
No, Parenteau scoring a couple of goals hurt. we say we have problems on a power play. Parenteau has a great couple of years in the AHL, and we don't promote him. They say there's no room. I guess we have a great power play. And then we get Zuccarello, who had a great year for a half year last year. He had 9 points on the power play, playing half a season. And I don't know. We still got problems on the power play. The people we have, we just don't play them. And I think 9 points on the power play, when your choice alternative is Fedotenko and Mitchell, I think Zuccarello can do a better job than them just on special teams. He could have won the shootout tonight, for crying out loud. But it's just my opinion. I'm not a coach, but I've been here forever. Ever since Larry Kemp, I've been here since they started talking about who was the toughest guy in the NHL, and I watched Larry Kahan of the Rangers knock out Gordon Howe and then TKO John Ferguson, and then they didn't even have Larry Kahan in the top 10. So I go back forever. I even go back to Cam Henry, who couldn't skate. He was like 140 pounds. He would go in front of the net. The puck would hit him in the head and go in the net. It would hit him in the rear end and go in the net. It would hit him in the arm and go in the net. Very rarely did he stick it in the net with a stick. And yet he was great on the power play, but he was just a target. They aimed for him, not at the net. And that's how far I go back. Cahan and Cam Henry.
Nice. I thought Artie played a heck of a game tonight.
Artisimov?
There you go.
Yeah, but you can't. He doesn't show up on statistics. He back checks. So when instead of there being like 3-on-2, there's always a 3-on-3. He gets back and he supplements the two defensemen getting back. That never shows up in any statistics that he was the third man back with the defenseman to stop the other team breaking out of their zone. He does things like that, or he stick checks it back into the zone where they got to start the play all over again. That doesn't show up in any statistical analysis. That's why plus he's playing out of position like everybody else is. He's playing left wing. He's a center. But you know what? He's a team player. He does what Tortorella tells him to do. But Artisimov is like, he don't always show up in the box, the things that he does. But I'm sure Lundqvist appreciates his getting back.
Yeah.
But it's just my opinion.
I agree with you on, you know, look, I've said before, I don't agree with everything you say, but I appreciate you. I applaud you coming onto this program and giving your opinion.
Yeah, I think they were beating on Dustin Brown today, saying that he's not productive. He averages 20 goals a season, and he averages 200 hits a season, and he only averages 60 minutes in penalties. And you know, I have that statistic ratio of hits divided by penalty minutes, and he's like at 3 or 4 to 1, which is an ideal percentage for a forward, one of the better percentages in the league. He's a clean player, and he hits people. He makes physical contact, and he scores. He scores his 50 or 60 points every year. I mean, and he's not a big cap hit, and he's only 27. I mean, I think he's a better fit than Nash and probably don't cost as much. But just my opinion. He's from New York. He's from New York. He's from Ithaca. He's right down the street from Callahan, who's from Rochester, you know.
Browns,
you guys
from,
know that, right?
Oh, yeah. Browns from, I didn't know, Browns from New York? Is that what you said?
Go ahead.
No, you said, Frankie, you said Dustin Brown's from New York?
Yeah, he's from Ithaca, New York.
Oh, okay. That I didn't know. Of course, I knew where Callahan's from, of course, but
Callahan's
I didn't know
from
where.
Rochester, and I also
I
said that Hagelin would get along with Cogliano because Cogliano went to the same Michigan Wolverines hockey team in college. They played, you know, they played in the same general time frame, and they're both were the number one skaters, fastest skaters in the whatchamacallit, the rookies thing that they have, skills contest that they have in the All-Star game. When Cogliano did it in his year as a rookie, he was the fastest skater, and now Hagelin is the fastest skater. They're both from the same alma mater, so I think they would have something in common, you know, but just an opinion.
Yeah, well, according to Howie checking in from the news desk, Lombardi pulled Brown off the trading block, so I guess he's out. It sounds like they're going to have to make if they want another forward, it's going to be Nash if it's going to be anybody. That's my guess anyway. Unless there's an unknown.
I already got that unknown player.
The unknown. Who is it?
He's a left wing, and he's not Erickson, and his name is Jamie Benn. Big, young, physical player, hits, scores, effective on a power play. Run him up on your computer, Jamie Benn, B-E-N-N, Dallas.
Yeah, I know who he is. I hadn't thought of him. I don't know if Dallas is even looking to move him.
Well, we talked about Erickson, who was
17
you know, one
goals, 32 assists.
How many hits?
I don't know. I just pulled up his NHL page. I don't have it. The hits are on Yahoo.
They track hits on Yahoo. I mean, he's a decent plus-minus guy, so he buys into defense. Very physical, very young, not a very expensive player. But he should be on our radar. I wanted to get Neil, but Neil ended up getting tripped to Pittsburgh. You know,
99 hits, Frankie.
That's not bad.
Yeah, I don't think Dallas is moving him, though. I don't think, but... Steve Ott, that's another name I've heard a couple of times the last few days. So we'll see.
Who?
Ott from Dallas. Mel Ott.
Oh, he's like 30-something years old.
Well,
he's 30-something years old. He's an Avery type. You know, what are we going to do with a 30-something-year-old center? Where does Boyle go then? To left wing?
Go to Hartford for all I care. Guy's terrible in the offensive zone, Frankie.
Never in the offensive zone.
When he's there, he's terrible. He's completely lost. He's a nightmare in the offensive zone.
Well,
Frankie,
you could
sit on my shoulders and we could skate into the offensive zone and have more productivity than Brian Boyle.
Probably when I came out of the hospital, I probably had more balance than him. But the guys on Chip Banter, they published some statistics that he takes like 90% of the draws defensive zone. Whenever his line gets into the offensive zone, they immediately take him out. So he never gets any practice in the offensive zone because they're always putting him every time there's a face-off in front of the Lundqvist. So I think he's operating at a disadvantage. And as the post that I sent you the other day, both him and Dubinsky have been taken off the power play this year. And, you know, Zuccarello is not a significant number of points on the power play because of those three guys not being put on there. And the guy that they replaced him with is Brad Richards. And I don't see our power play getting a whole lot better this year. I think we're more on the periphery this year on the power play than ever before, whereas when Dubinsky and Boyle were there, they were more like in front of the net, you know, tucking stuff in. But just an opinion.
I hear you. Well, Frankie, listen, we're going to take some other calls, and we'll talk to you on the next show. All right, sir?
Okay. Big day tomorrow with Avery.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right. You have
Take
a good
care.
Weekend. We'll talk to you soon, Frankie. Thanks.
You too. Bye-bye now.
All right. There's no not loving.
Artissimo. Andrew Cugliano. Hegelin. And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury. Wikipedia.
That was the great and completely irreplaceable Frankie. You got. I could hear both of you laughing while he's talking. Both of you. And it was great. It was great. I love Frankie. He does make some good points. It's just the malaprops that get you going. And, you know, everybody in the chat room is like, oh, Jim, you got him. You're trolling him. You're doing a good job. I'm like, well, Frankie's the malaprop sniper. I'm merely the playmaker. I don't know what he was talking about with Avery. Avery's not playing, is he? I heard they might call him up or pass him through waivers, but he's not playing, is he?
No, but I don't know what he was talking about Avery tomorrow in Buffalo.
Well, because I know there was something that went around today that they might call pass him through waivers, right?
Yeah.
But I don't think he's playing. So,
no.
And apparently TSN was reporting that Volsky is going to be on waivers tomorrow. Big deal.
He won't be claimed either.
No, nope, probably not. So, all right, let's keep the phone calls rolling along here. Let's get 631-661. You're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim, it's Anthony Giovi.
Anthony Giovi, how are you?
All right, my first time calling in. This is pretty cool. Listen, man, you know, I don't want to blow up this whole team about shit, you know, because where they are right now, this is really great. But the thing is this, it's some of the fucking decisions I think these coaches are making. This bullshit with that shootout tonight was ridiculous. I mean, I'm telling you, I think it's Sullivan who makes this decision. And I can't stand him as it is. You cannot put Mitchell and Richards before Hagelin and Anisimov. I understand what you were saying before about Richards, you know, being a veteran and all that. But you can't put him before guys like Hagelin, Stepan, and Anisimov. It's just impossible. It's just impossible because those guys got a little bit of skill to go in there and try and score on the shootout. We totally sucked this year on the shootout. I mean, I just don't know what happened to this team through that. And then on the power play, you know, one week it looked like it was going to explode and we were going to start taking over. I still blame Sullivan for that power play.
Well, yeah, he's in charge of it.
I mean, it just seems like you watch everybody else's power play. Like, I watch center ice. I watch almost all the games. People get the puck to the point, shoot, bounce on the rebounds. It looks like we don't even get a chance to pass the puck and then shoot. I don't understand it. You know, you should be able to pass real quick and then shoot the puck. They just take their time with the passes, and that's where everything gets screwed up all the time.
No, you're absolutely right. One pass after it's pass and a pass and a pass, and you know, and then the pass goes off the guy. It's on the wrong side, and the guy's got to turn around. He's got to kick it off his skate. It's nothing smooth about their power play. You know, you watch other teams run their power play, and it's all, you know, it's like watching a machine work, and the Rangers is like watching a Yugo.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
And the other thing is this, too. You know, everybody's talking about, oh, we shouldn't make this trade. I was skeptical about this, whether we go for Nash or not. And I'm still on the fence with it. But, you know, I'm tired of hearing the shit about chemistry. Because you know what? He could just mix lines up left and right. So it's not like there's chemistry anyway. He just throws everybody out there. It's like, all right, let me throw him in the dryer and put it on this and see what pops out of there.
You know what? If the Rangers were to trade for Nash at midnight and they trade Dubinsky, and let's just say, okay, I'm just speculating. Let's say they trade Dubinsky and Delzato for Nash, right? And Nash plays tomorrow night against Buffalo and scores two goals. You're not going to hear a word about the – all of a sudden that chemistry shit will go out the window.
Exactly. I don't want to even hear about chemistry. You know what? Dubinsky, he's – oh, my God. He disappoints me so goddamn much this year. It's unbelievable. How fucking more horrible can you play? Yeah, oh, he brings the little things to the game. Well, fuck the little things. I want to see the big things now.
That's what we heard about Chris Drury for 4 years.
Holy shit. And goes to show you, Christensen scores a shootout goal last night.
Yeah, we heard all. Yeah, heard all about it from Phoenix Rangers.
What, are you kidding me? I just wish we'd get rid of the shootouts, too, because they just drive me nuts. I can't stand them. I'd rather go from 4-on-4 to 3-on-3, then go to the shootout. Holy shit, man.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of them either. Not to settle games.
I'll tell you, though, I was pissing in my pants before with Frankie on there. I almost had tears in my eyes laughing, especially with all the crap that was coming through them on the chat.
Frankie's great, isn't he?
Oh, that was great.
You gotta love him.
And I'm not a crazy person. Just crazy. Andrew Cole Pugliano. Cogliano.
Antimov. Cogliano.
Yeah, tonight he was Cogliano. Cogliano.
Antimov. Artisimov.
Holy shit. Look, yeah, I'm going to let you get other people, if there's other people waiting on the line. I just wanted to get in there and talk to you, say hello to you guys, and let's hope that this thing turns around tomorrow night, man. All right? Have a good night, everybody out there.
All right. Take care. Thanks for calling. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, Jim.
Bye. Everybody loves Frankie. Everybody loves Frankie. So, all right, 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. We got just over a half hour to go if we make it that far. We'll see what happens. You want to, since some of us are Giants fans, here's an example of chemistry. Like Mandar said, winning makes chemistry. Nobody was talking about the Giants' chemistry when they were 7-7. Nobody.
No.
Nobody.
They were done. Nobody. At 7-7.
Yeah. You know, even at 8-7 and 9-7, nobody was talking about their chemistry. So, like Mandar said, it's wise words from a wise man. Winning makes chemistry.
Yep.
So, all right, back to the phones we go. Let's see who we got here. 917-302, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this?
Hey, Jim, it's Kevin from The Banter.
Hey, Kevin. Kevin Power? Wow.
Have you noticed?
Wait a minute. Whoa.
Yeah.
What a night. I feel like we should. Hold on. We need something. Here.
Keep your fucking discipline here now.
There you go. Well, nice of you to call in. Well, we've been trying to get you to call in the show for 2 years.
Yeah, I just had to go on after Frank. You just had to do that.
Well, he was great tonight, wasn't he?
Oh, God.
He's awesome. He's much better live than he is in print.
One
See,
thing
what
I,
some
I
of mean, you, what's what you guys probably don't know about Frankie is that he's had a lot of you've heard him mention it, that he got banned from Blue Shirt Banter, and he caused a lot of trouble. I think when he puts his thoughts down on paper or types them out on the internet, I don't think he kind of understands he doesn't communicate very well that way, I don't think. So, but when he gets on the phone here, he's great. I mean, you know, he drops the malaprops and everything, but he's, I mean, he's, you know, he's great. I love him. He can call every week. I hope he calls every week.
Answer, Mom. Andrew Cogliano. And I'm not a crazy person, despite the brain injury.
So what's going on, Kevin?
A couple things I've been noticing about the team is that they seem to be getting a little complacent lately, that they're, you know, ever since that second Boston game where you know, Lundqvist came up huge, everyone's calling out, you know, this team could be the Stanley Cup, the best team in the league. They started playing a little bit, complacent, you know, like they're feeling first place a little bit, you know?
Reading a few too many of their own press clippings, you think?
Yeah, and you know, like some guys who aren't used to being in first place would be, hey, this is pretty good, you know, we're getting talked up and everything, and now I think they really do need their asses kicked a little bit.
Well, I have a feeling they're going to get that.
Yeah, and everyone who's freaking out about, you know, Saylor overpaying for Nash, when was the last time Saylor got fleeced on a trade? I mean, the guy is the evil genius for a reason. And if you look at the deal for Carter, I mean, that was Halston's first mistake, trading Carter for Nash. Because it gives Saylor the say, okay, you traded Carter, now this is what I want for Nash. It gives Saylor so much more flexibility, you know, to get Nash on his price. And he came out with that list of untouchables. Delzato, McDonough, Stepan, Kreider, they're all untouchable. And so if this trade goes through for Nash, we could have a line next year of Kreider, Richards, Nash. That's 4-2-20-230 with speed. Richards, and then 6-3-230 with speed. They both have pro shots. Who wouldn't take that top six?
Now, who's your first line again?
Oh, the gas line.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm laughing at the chat room. No, I mean, I agree with you. I think they, you know, I think we're all in agreement at this point. You know, I
love the guy, but I've the Brian Leach trade really ended my innocence. It's a business. I like the guy,
that was the end of your innocence. What were you, about 12 when they traded Brian Leach?
I was 14, all right?
14. So young.
Oh.
So young.
He was a young pup.
but that's another thing that, you know, a lot of Ranger fans my age, Dig Deep, Brandon on the banter, I think that we're a generation of Ranger fans who are waiting for that next shoe to drop with this team, that we're not used to this kind of success.
Well, that's not a generational thing. That's an all-time thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's every all period. You're just waiting for the bad things to happen.
Kevin,
we went through the state of the dark ages, and now we're finally, you know, experiencing some kind of success, and we don't know how to handle it.
Yeah, well, I think there are two things that go on with this fan base. It's a lot of them are Yankee fans. They expect to win every day, and if they don't, it obviously means there's a flaw. And I just think people have too many ways to complain nowadays. You've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you can throw a rock and hit 100 Ranger blogs. There's just too many places to complain. You know, you talk about the Brian Leach trade. Have you ever heard, I've told the story once or twice on the show, have you ever heard the story about when they traded Brian Leach? About how I called the Rangers? I called their executive offices? This is probably why the PR department still hates him. That's probably where it started, was back in when they traded
one
Brian
of many
Leach.
Reasons, probably.
I called the executive offices, and I said, you know, I was, I, what was I? I guess When did they trade? When would they trade Leach? What year was that?
It was right before the lockout.
03, 04. 02? 03? Okay. So I was, I guess, you know, I was 32, 33.
Yeah.
I called the Rangers executive offices. Some woman answers the phone. I said, I want to talk to who's responsible for this Brian Leach trade. Right? So she puts me on with, like, the community relations guy. I had this guy on the phone for, like, 15 minutes. I said, you know, something to the effect of, that fucking jackass that's running this organization is tearing the heart out of it piece by piece, and he's killing us. And this guy told me, I don't remember the guy's name, wherever he is, God bless him, because he had one of the hardest jobs in the world, because he literally told me, he said, look, he said, I understand your frustration. He says, I don't even know if I should tell you this, but I was assigned the job to take calls from fans like you. This is all I've done all day long. I said, you mean,
oh my God.
You've done nothing all day but take calls from fans like me complaining? He says, yeah, this has just been you would not believe what I've heard today. So at that point, I just said, well, there's probably nothing I could say that you haven't heard except, said, fuck you, Glenn Sather. And I think I hung up the phone. So, yeah, that's the only time I've ever called them to complain.
But now you can do that with the Rangers on Twitter. I mean, sometimes I feel bad for some of the things that people send to Jim Cerny. As you read through, the Rangers suck tonight. What the hell's going on?
Cerny's a jackass anyway. He's a fucking dolt. I just noticed you tweeted. You tweeted me. You're putting me on after Frankie.
Yeah. But also with this Avery thing, the deal is that the Rangers may put him on re-entry waivers and just to see if anyone would take him, and if not, he goes right back to playing with the Wade Redden and the Fudgy the Whale. How about this package for Nash? Volsky, Avery,
done.
Redden, and a
done.
Third.
Done. You had me at Avery.
Avery, bye.
Sorry, but most Ranger fans will be upset that you're giving up a third-round draft pick in that.
And some off.
Thank you, Frank.
Most Ranger fans will be upset that I'm trading Avery.
Yeah, there are still Ranger fans that want him back.
And you,
not me.
You know who
I
mean on Twitter.
Yeah, I know.
God, I mean it's just.
And by the way, anybody that's listening, if you're not following Kevin on Twitter, you need to @8kpower. Kevin and I have some great conversations on Twitter. We have a lot of fun. We treat Twitter the way it's supposed to be treated. Complete and utter
that's a very apt description.
We treat Twitter the way it's supposed to be treated. So, who had the recap on the banter tonight? Brian Winters?
Oh, it's Brian, yeah.
Mr. Recap, Brian's, right?
Our recap guy, because he writes them in like 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's like Joe. Joe used to have the recap like done before the third period even started. The game would be over, and it'd be like, you know, three paragraphs about the first two periods of the game, and then two lines about and they lost. Thoughts, guys? That was a Joe recap. So, all right, Kevin. Well,
yep,
thanks for calling in, finally.
Yep. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right, take care.
See ya.
Bye. The great 8K Power.
Hagelin.
Calling in. And Hagelin. So, all right, 646-478-4692 is the number if you guys want to call in. I'm picking up a pattern here, Mandar and Howie, that the fan base is starting to come around on making a deal for Nash.
Yep. See.
Well, it's the timing of it is everything, you know. It's the slumping all of a sudden. It's the only beat the Jackets in overtime, lose to the Blackhawks, lose to the Islanders. It's timing. It seems all the powers that be are coming together and telling Ranger fans, yep, you need this guy, and it's probably a good thing.
All right. We have Mark from – here we go. Let's see. Mark is calling from the UK on Skype, so I just have to – let's see. Make sure I can get him conferenced in here. I always have a problem with this. Mark, are you there?
All right, I'm here, guys. How are you?
Good evening. You're on with Jim, and we got Mandar and Howie on the line. What time is it over there? What is it, like 5 o'clock in the morning?
5 past 4.
Wow.
Well,
man.
So, well, give us your take on the game. Give us your take on what you think the Rangers, should they be looking at Rick Nash? Now, you wrote a story that they shouldn't be, so I guess that's your...
This was the last... That was based before the last few games. We need, if we're going to win some of this year, we need to trade. We're not good enough to win it. The only thing I've got the question on is Rick Nash can score. Everyone knows that. But couldn't Brad Richards make our power play better before the season started? What happens if Nash comes and doesn't do what we think he's going to do? Where are we then if we've given up a ton for him?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You know, I can't. I said this last night. I was on with Colin Cosell on one of his 27 shows on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. No, I'm just kidding. He's got like two. I just give him a hard time. I said this last night. You know, and maybe you'll agree. Maybe people agree with me. Maybe people won't. And I understand that. And that's fine. I used this analogy. I don't even know if I used this last night on the show, but I'll tell you a quick story. 1985, we're going to go back a ways, right? I big Mets fan, right? And the Mets were doing really well. They were in first place part of the year. They were in this dogfight with the Cardinals. And I remember talking to a guy that I used to kind of – I used to deliver his papers. I used to cut his grass, whatever. I was like his houseboy. And he was a big Mets fan, and I said, you know, we were talking about the Mets – and I said, well, you know, what do you think? I said, they're in first place. They're doing really well. You know, the pitching looks good, the whole bit. And all he said to me was, there's something missing. He says, I can't put my finger on it. He says, I can't tell you exactly what it is. He says, but there's something missing. And that's how I kind of feel about the Rangers. I don't even know if it's the – it's easy to blame the power play, but it's not just the power play. There's just something – not there.
Some games where, like, when we played in Philadelphia last on the road, I could see us scoring with every shot we had. And then we play games like tonight, right, and against Pittsburgh, at Pittsburgh game, we could still be playing now and we wouldn't have scored. And, you know, we were awful in that game. And, yeah, I agree there's something missing, but I thought Richards was going to solve the problems. And yeah, all right, he's come up big in some situations, but you know what he was technically brought here to do, be the centre of Gabrick's line, that's not worked out. To make the power play better, that's not worked out. And yeah, all we're doing with him is paying him money. You know, if we're giving Columbus this, and this, and you know, I mean, I'm all for doing that if Nash is going to come here this year and win us a cup. You know, but there's no guarantees he will, and.
But, see, I said this yesterday. I said, right now, I said, they're a cup contender. I said, they go get Nash and do it without, you know, without really taking anything out of their main players, which they're not going to, you know.
No.
You know, they're not getting rid of Gabrick or Callahan or Staal, I don't think, or, you know, McDonough or Lundqvist, obviously. If they find a way to get Nash – and add him to the lineup, they go from being a contender to maybe the favorite to win maybe. You know, I mean, you got to look at them as, you know, the favorite. Right now, I think they're a contender. And, you know, I don't think – maybe the thing that's missing is, you know, while they're in first place, I don't think they scare anybody.
No.
Maybe this will make sense. For a month leading up to the first game against Boston, Ranger fans were terrified of that game. Oh, you know, we're going to play ball. We got that Boston game coming up. I don't think anybody looks at a Ranger game that way.
No.
I don't think anybody's circling that. Well, maybe, but they're terrible anyway. I don't think fans are circling the Ranger game on their calendar going, oh, boy, you know, geez, we got the Rangers coming up. Oh, boy, you know. We'll see how we measure up.
Yes,
I just, you know,
right.
I don't know. Maybe that's a good analogy. Maybe it's not. But, you know, you look at, you know, we look at the schedule and we see, oh, we got Vancouver coming up, or we got to go to Detroit and play them, or, you know, games. I don't think anybody's afraid of playing the Rangers.
No, I agree.
I don't know. Maybe that's what's missing. I don't know.
We definitely need to make a move of some sort before Monday. I mean, that's another thing, is the East this year. I think it's more than up for grabs. I mean, yeah, we're first place, but I mean, you know, Pittsburgh without Crosby, Boston, they're slumping like anything at the minute. Philadelphia are not going to get anywhere without a goalie. You know, we've got a really good chance in the East this year, and yeah, I agree. We're a scorer away from becoming favourite, especially for the East. But if we play for Nash, I'm not gonna moan. You know, he's a quality player. You know, he's one of the better players in the league. But it's just the whole Richards thing and comparing what happened with Richards and whatever. But we'll have to wait and see. I don't want Dustin Brown. I think he's what we've already got.
Think so?
I think if we're going to trade, let's trade for someone like Rick Nash. You know, if that's what we're going to do, let's go for somebody who's going to win us the Cup, not someone who's just going to, you know, do Dubinsky's role a little bit better.
Right.
Agreed.
John Tavares, 20 of 33 on faceoffs tonight.
Oh, Sam Rosen certainly told us that.
This guy, Casey Cizikas, is that his name? Wasn't tonight his first game in the NHL?
I believe Joe said something about that, yeah.
Yeah, he was 4 for 7 on faceoffs. His first game in the NHL. Brian Boyle, 7 for 22 on faceoffs. You know what? If Brian Boyle ain't winning faceoffs, 3 of 11 in the defensive zone. If he ain't winning faceoffs, he ain't a whole lot of use to the Rangers. Derek Stepan, 9 of 20 on faceoffs.
We faceoffs have been a massive problem for the last couple of years. I mean, when we're the worst team in the league last year in faceoffs or something like that, it's been a problem for a while. And again, that's something Richards was meant to do.
Yeah. So, Dubinsky, 0-for-2. Dubinsky, 0-for-2 on faceoffs. So
I'm sold on that guy now. I stuck with him all year. He's been the guy. He's been my favorite player for the last few years and all this shit. But I've sold on him now. You know, he does nothing. He does nothing. I mean, he was appalling tonight.
Dustinsky.
Yeah.
What I call him. That's his new nickname. Or Dubaisky.
I'm glad to see him in the shootout, though.
It would have been, yeah, just to know he was still in the game. Just to know he still had a jersey.
Well, I don't know what they were thinking of that shootout. I do not. I don't know. Completely. I was the same as you as soon as John Mitchell, came onto the ice, I switched off near enough.
I'm the same way. And, you know, it's nothing really against John Mitchell, because I've said on the show I like his game, but it is what it is. You know,
it's not like the ninth round. You know, fair enough. But you know, when you've got players like Stefan Anisimov, Hagelin, give them a go.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
People can actually score.
Hagelin.
But no, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe when he came to this. I mean, as soon as we get a shootout and Biron's in net, I pretty much call that a game anyway. You know, that guy's 5 volleys. He might have sat on top of the net.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. So, well, listen, Mark, we're gonna start to wrap things up in a few minutes here. We might take one more call before we're all done, and then call it a night.
Yep.
And you got to get some sleep anyway. You have to work tomorrow? You working tomorrow? Saturday? Or are you off?
Day off tomorrow.
All right. We'll
get ready for the game tomorrow night.
There you go. Excellent. Well, listen, thank you for calling in, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. See you later, guys.
Take care, Mark. That was Mark calling in from, I believe he is in, I want to say Sheffield. Not Gary Sheffield, but Sheffield in the United Kingdom. So we appreciate it. And thank you. We've got a nice full chat room here tonight. So let me say hello to everybody really quick. And then we'll and then I think Cutter's on hold. And there'll be no greater ending to the show than bringing Cutter on. 8K Power, who called in a few minutes ago. Kevin, I appreciate it. He's a good guy. Make sure you follow him on Twitter, at 8K Power. Cutter is here. He's on hold. The great Emily Lauren is here. We appreciate her being here. She's rather she's one of the newer listeners to the show. We appreciate it. A couple of guests hanging out, lurking. Those are the that's the Ranger Brass, just looking for ideas. Hensha 01, I don't know who that is, but I'm glad you're here. Howie Sussman is here. He's on the line with us. Irish Puck 93, Kevin Stewart, Critical. Mark, we just heard from over in the UK. Mess and Gretz, the great Joe Catroni, hanging out in the woods of Tennessee somewhere in a cabin up in the mountains. Mo Pav is here. Mr. French is here. Phoenix Ranger, my buddy Nick Tertilli. Rangers HCP, Rangers Riot, Rocco Sansone, Sue Papagallo, the crazy Greek. Just kidding. I know you're not Greek. Tom Ertz, featured reporter at the Bleacher Report and the only decent writer on the Bleacher Report, and the great Wazilly. We appreciate all you guys being here. Thank you so much for joining us at the postgame show. And now, without further ado, from Kitchener, Ontario, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
Brother.
Jeff Diamond. Jeff Cutter, my man, how are you?
Couldn't be better, Jim.
You could be better?
Shut up, Cutter!
Okay.
How's it going? How are you? Oh. We haven't talked in a while. How you been?
I've been pretty good. I mean, the Rangers are in first place in the conference. I didn't expect that. I expected them to win the division, but not the conference.
No one did.
Well...
And let me cut off for 1 second. Yeah, Tom Ertz, make sure you follow Tom at Twitter. And any of you guys in the chat room that are on Twitter, put your Twitter handles in there. We have some good conversations on Twitter. I talk to all you guys on Twitter, and we have a lot of fun. So I'm always on there during the games with my extreme nonsense directed at the MSG broadcast. Like tonight, I sent them a message. Can we find a camera angle in that fucking Coliseum that's not cut off by the popcorn guy every time he walks up? I'm trying to watch the game, and here comes the guy with the tray of cotton candy. I'm trying to watch the goddamn game. Put the cotton candy down. Jesus Christ. Anyway, I'm sorry, Cutter.
Yeah, move the Islanders to Kansas City already. Or
amen. Do it.
Yeah,
bye-bye. Done. I'll help them pack. So, what else you got, Cutter? Here, wait. Cutter, hang on a second. Here, I haven't played this in a while, and I like this. Hold on.
Hey, Islander fans. With a brand new building for your Isles to play in, why don't you become a season ticket subscriber? That's right. With the brand new Papa John's Arena, you'll get to see great Islander action in a premier state-of-the-art building. So come on down and support the Isles. Get your season tickets now.
Sorry, Charlie.
Flash forward to 2015.
Hey, Kansas City. The Scouts are back after a long absence, and now's your chance to be the first to get season tickets. Guess what? The Whalers are back in Hartford, and now's your chance to get season tickets. Sacre bleu! The Nordiques are back in Quebec! Now's your chance to get tickets! Bumblebee, Arizona! Frankenstein, Missouri! Gun Barrel City, Texas! Dicktown, New Jersey! Big Beaver, Pennsylvania! That was our attempt to find the Islanders a new home. And by the way, every one of those cities I mentioned in that bit, that was a combined bit. Eddie and I worked on that together. Every one of those cities I mentioned is true. There is a Frankenstein, Missouri, and a Bumblebee, Arizona. Every one of them is true. I looked for really obscure town names. But anyway, all right, Cutter. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there. But talk about the Islanders movement. It reminded me that I wanted to play that.
Well, at least you did.
So, I knew this would be the way to bring an end to the show.
What?
Dead air.
Dead air, Cutter. I thought you had something to say.
I did. I was waiting for you to say something.
You're the one that called in. All right, fine. Yes. I got another Islanders bit. Now you're going to have to sit through this one.
Ladies and gentlemen, making their way onto the ice, Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum, your New York Islanders.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello? Anybody? Islander fan?
What else you got, Cutter?
Well, the main reason why I was calling was that Mandar mentioned this in the chat room, and he said about him not liking the fact, well, being mad at the time that they traded Raquel and all that.
They traded what?
When Mandar said in the chat room that he was sad the day that they traded Raquel from the Rangers to Boston.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, of course, it's akin to the fact of the Mike Gardner trade. I mean, you got this great guy. You got this 700 goal scorer that never makes a Stanley Cup final, and yet, I mean, the Rangers traded him to the Leafs. I mean, we took good care of Gardner, and we gave you Glenn Anderson, so you should thank Toronto for that. Oh, damn it.
Glenn Anderson, let me tell you something about Glenn Anderson. What did Glenn Anderson score, like 2 goals as a Ranger? And every
Probably.
Time there's a 1994 celebration, he's right at the forefront of it. The guy's like, you would think that he carried the Rangers on his back through the 16 wins to the Cup. I could care less about Glenn Anderson, trust me.
Okay, I understand, Jim. I understand. I'm just saying that you said so yourself that, you know, the Rangers in 94 decided to get the Grinders instead of the finesse players.
Yeah, they got the Grinders. They got the Grinders and Glenn Anderson.
Fatherly juices.
And this year, it's the exact opposite. So,
yeah,
you know.
Exactly.
I mean, it shouldn't be the exact opposite. I mean, the Rangers aren't first in the conference. That's all there is to it.
Nothing to do with anything. You can't – they're not ready to make that next step. You can't sit here now and say, as a first-place team, that they're going to go all the way to the Cup Finals, because I'm not believing that. If they can make that move and get a guy like a Nash in, that gives them that jolt and that offensive presence that they really don't have right now other than Gavrik. To really
exactly.
push them over. Over that.
I don't know whether to laugh or vomit.
Well, the fact is, Holly, and for the rest of you, I mean, I lost my train of thought. Sorry, I lost my train of thought. I apologize. Damn it.
Dismissed.
Did you hear him go, damn it, as I blew him up? Damn it. That's like when I blow Robbie up and you hear Robbie go, oh, fuck, man. Sorry, Cutter. You brought absolutely nothing. I didn't expect much, but I got even less than that.
You know, everybody...
Sit back and relax. The next 6 hours is going to be filled with boredom, followed by monotony.
Amazing. Well, first place, no, we don't have to change anything. Well, they need to tweak.
Yeah, well, tweak or look. Go get Rick Nash. Do what you do.
Yeah, bringing him in is not gonna. It's not gonna.
Don't sell the farm. Don't sell the farm. But go get. And you know, you know, I feel like I have debated this with like 500 people in the last 3 days, and I'm trying to make like different arguments to each person. You know, it's not every year that a guy like Rick Nash is available at the trade deadline. How many times can you remember where you had an elite forward in the league who's only 27 years old, right? He's 27?
Yeah, he's 27.
Those guys don't often become available at the trade deadline. So, you know, I just think it's a move that they should make. After debating it with myself for the last week, I've come to that conclusion. And I don't know who – oh, Tom, here you go.
Keep your fucking discipline here now.
And here's a bonus.
With Kessel. And if you have a chance, finish him. He's a good player. But don't shit your pants on him.
I love that one. Don't shit your pants on him. Oh, here's one.
Takes the players away from the puck. Brian Boyle, we've done that fucking coverage all fucking year long. You got that fucking mic on. You can't fucking think straight.
You seem to be more of a thinker than I am.
All right, we got just a couple of minutes to go. I got one more call here that just popped up before we go off the air. 914-420, you're on Blue Shirt Underground Radio. Who's this? Who's this? 914. Go once, you hung up. I have a feel. Not, where's 914? Where's that area code? Westchester County. I wonder if that was – maybe it was an Islander fan. Anyway. All right. Well, I think we've run this into the ground. I think we've had a good time, and and Cutter just brought an end to the whole thing. So, well, I'll tell you what. We will be back. I think we're scheduled for Wednesday. I don't know what the Rangers' schedule is exactly beyond tomorrow as far as days of the week go, but we're scheduled for Wednesday. That will be tentative. Let me see here. That's 25th. That's tomorrow. Then they play Monday, and then they play when's March 1st? Is that Thursday or Wednesday?
Thursday.
That's Thursday. Okay, so we're scheduled for Wednesday. We should be on 29th. If the Rangers do something if they make some kind of big move or something, then maybe we'll throw a show together on short notice. Just keep an eye out for us on the Facebook group. If you're not a member of our Facebook group, look for us, Blue Shirt Underground Radio. You can also find us at www.blueshirtunderground.com. We've got some of our clips on there. We've got some of our previous interviews with Wayne Gretzky and Theo Fleury and Emil Francis, a couple others that are on there. I think Greshner's on there. There's a bunch of them on there. You can find us all over the place. I'm on Twitter at BSU Radio Jim. Howie, you can find Howie at Howie9416. Eddie's at Ranger Crisis. Eddie, feel better. We hope to hopefully you'll be back sitting here with me soon. Howie, thanks for sitting in. And Mandar, thank you for sitting in, even though you left about 20 minutes ago. He sent me a message. He said, I got to go. I'm going to make a quiet exit. I said, well, thanks for sitting in. So thank you to Mandar. Always a pleasure. And thanks, Howie. I appreciate it.
Problem. Anytime.
All right, everybody. Have a good night, and we'll see you soon.
Mm-hmm.